10 years ago, your neighborhood milkman was about as passé a marketing concept as they get. He was a punchline in a joke about wayward women. Today, though, the milkman is back. Streamline delivers groceries. Columbia Record Club sends CDs. And yes, the milkman delivers milk, all without asking each time. All permission is not created equal. Remember when you were dating in second grade? It meant you had permission to hold hands, but only sometimes, and only if there weren't too many people around. That's a little different level of permission compared with that of a couple going steady in college. The goal of the permission marketer is to move consumers up the permission ladder, moving them from strangers to friends to customers, and from customers to loyal customers. At every step up the ladder, trust grows, responsibility grows, and profits grow. There are 5 levels of permission. I'll go through them now. The highest level of permission is called intravenous. This is what you've got going when you're in the intensive care unit with a needle in your arm and a bag of medicine dripping into your veins. Your doctor has your written permission to inject just about anything he wants to into your IV bag. Not only can he select and administer the drug, but then he can bill you for it and fully expect that you'll pay. A marketer who has achieved intravenous permission from his customer is making the buying decisions on behalf of the consumer. The privilege is huge, but the downside is significant. If the marketer guesses wrong, or worse, abuses the permission, it will be canceled in a heartbeat, no pun intended. The insanely profitable law firms of the 1980s made their money using this level of permission marketing. Wealthy corporations gave them what were essentially blank checks, along with permission to engage in whatever activities were in the interest of the company. Further, they didn't ask what anything cost and didn't question the legal bills. Some of those firms nurtured and cared for this permission and turned themselves into multi-million-dollar enterprises. Others abused it, lived high for a while, but were inexplicably surprised when the companies got smart and started questioning what was happening. 50 years ago, perhaps the single most profitable player in the book publishing world was the Book of the Month Club. Why were they so profitable? Because they had permission to choose a book and send it, with an invoice, to millions and millions of people. The club was similar to the book clubs you see today, except there were fewer choices and the vast majority of recipients accepted the selected book. The book selection committee was composed of well-known literati, and it was considered an honor to be on their board. The public basically gave them wide-ranging permission to choose and then ship whatever book they wanted. Clever marketing and excellent taste had earned them the right to choose, print, ship, and bill for books to a public that was eager to read their selections. With this base of intravenous permission, the club's board had enormous power. A main selection could make an author's career. The club wasn't afraid to use this power either. They relentlessly drove their costs down, acquiring books for a fraction of what they'd cost in a bookstore, but selling them, of course, at nearly full price. By acting on the consumer's behalf, they took great care with the permission they were granted and built ever more permission from their base. It was only the splintering of American interests, together with the evil reign of television, that led to the eventual decline in their power.